was a firefight!
Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Madness is the emergency exit.
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode 20. I'm Tim.
Leander.
And I'm Leander. Wait, that's not right. I'm Lou.
How did that happen?
Do you want to restart?
No, I was kidding, guys.
Yeah, of course he was kidding. Yeah.
I don't really think I'm Leander.
That's silly. Justin's video game creations of Black Man.
Oh, goodness. So today we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about Secret Wars. We're going to talk about the female Thor reveal and many, many other things. So there's your little teaser of what's going to happen. We are on Facebook. We are on YouTube. I am on Twitter. CapesandScowlsPodcast@gmail is how you get a hold of us. And our website is CapesandScowlsPodcast.com. And just to plug real quick, our friends on the network... Ryan Hates Movies has a new episode up. They got their first foreign film. Very exciting.
Nice.
Called Ghost Graduation. So please make sure you check that out. And also, Superliminal Films are doing their reviews of this season of Memoirs of Macabre. And you can get insight on your favorite Memoirs episode. So make sure you go check that stuff out. Memoirs is on YouTube. And the podcasts are wherever you get your podcasts. On iTunes, rate and review, everybody. All those things.
Yeah, give us a review. Leave us 5 stars or 0 stars.
We don't care.
A bad review looks better than no reviews.
Deep.
Is that true?
Probably not.
It's horrible advice, but please.
There's no such thing as bad press.
Can we try to just get all horrible reviews and just like millions of them?
I think the people should give us 5 stars, but then trash us in the...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Trash us in the text in the part.
These guys are awful. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. No one's going to do that, but I like it.
I'll do it.
All right, well, there's...
We can leave reviews for ourselves.
We can.
We should each of us leave reviews for the other two people.
I feel like I've left reviews in the past, and they've just not stuck, is how
really?
I feel. I feel like we had reviews. Maybe it was on the old version when they merged...
Yeah,
our old account with our new when they diverged, converged, Secret Ward, and now we don't have any reviews. So that's that. So who wants to tell me about their life? Who wants to go first?
I want Leander to tell me about his life.
Tell me about your life, Leander.
Gosh, all right.
How are you?
Let's
What's
see.
Up? What's new and exciting?
So I'm trying to explain to people why Lou and I sometimes have really good comedic energy on the podcast sometimes. Sometimes.
Who told you that?
Actually, I told myself in the mirror.
Me and Lou can do this. We can do this together, me and Lou.
And we figured out, I think I figured out what it is, and I don't know if Lou figured it out as well, but the other day, I saw Lou at the store, and we were just chatting, and all of a sudden we just got into an argument for, like, really no reason, like, over something pitiful. And I was like, okay, so... All right, Lou, unless it was important to you, it wasn't pitiful, but to me it was pitiful.
Wow.
So what happens is that Lou and I have to get into arguments so that we can have makeup podcasting.
Oh. Yeah.
And the makeup podcasting is pretty damn
hot.
So that's why sometimes I get into arguments with Lou for no reason, even though he knows I care about him.
Yeah, we have to get back.
I made the heart
that.
Symbol, by the way.
Oh,
to Lou.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I wondered why the microphone was all foggy all the time. It was the steam.
You just had to watch it.
I just watch it. The spit guard isn't enough.
Okay. No, that's the tagline for the podcast.
The spit guard isn't enough. Episode 20.
Let's see. So I'm going back to the Bahamas on Monday.
What? Get out of here!
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
My job just sends me to Connecticut. Thanks.
Connecticut's exotic, right?
No, it's
See,
not.
You just gotta work the system, man. You just gotta find, like, Comic-Con Bahamas. And there's, like, guys there. And, you know, you'd be like, ow, we should really work this con.
Yeah, we'll put it in a ship, all our stuff in a shipping crate, including me.
We'll send it. That's the only way we can afford it.
Put the whole van in a shipping crate.
Oh, jeez. I had a kind of, transcendent experience. I went to North Jersey to go...
I'm sorry.
Yes. No, North Jersey's awesome. I like North Jersey more than South Jersey. Northwest Jersey is where I was at.
What?
Yeah.
No one's ever said that before.
Really?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous up there.
How north were you?
I was all the way north.
Oh, okay. You gotta get from, like...
I was in Sussex County.
Okay.
In Warren County.
All right. From, like... Trenton to Bergen County is just like factories and smoke. And then you probably got through that.
I was almost to the Delaware Water Gap.
Okay.
He almost passed out going through.
Yeah, it's, if you can make it through, it's like the Secret Valley. It's like the Savage Land.
if you get through
the smoke of North Jersey, you see beautiful mountains.
Right, right. Goodness. And dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, while I was up there, I love to go kayaking, and we have a cabin on the lake, so I can stay there. So I was, that morning I got up, I got on the kayak, I went on the water, and I had this beautiful, alright, let me tell you what I went on the kayak with. I went with my glasses, I went with a pen, a banana, my journal, my iPhone, an iPod, and an earbuds, so I can listen to all that.
This is a recipe for disaster.
Yes, what I came back with was a pen, a banana... My iPhone and my journal, but everything else is gone.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I lost my earbuds, my iPod, my glasses were lost in the depths of the water. An oar, I actually lost an oar, too, and I got the kayak back. But it was all
so you fell in, is what you're saying.
Not to be like a hippie, but it was very cleansing. That process of losing was very cleansing. And the water, the fresh water, going into my mouth as I try not to drown. It was all very cleansing.
Can you swim, at least?
I mean, is that a black joke?
No, we have to convince Leander that not everything is a black joke.
It was really, like, ambitious of you to take that much equipment into a kayak. Like, ideally, you want, like, a life jacket and a hat.
Yeah, I didn't even have a life jacket on. I know, it was bad. It was bad, and I was the only one out there. It was, like, 7 o'clock in the morning. It was scary for a second there, actually. But I made it back. It was fine. I can swim very well, so.
Good
enough. I had no hands free, because I had to hold one hand with the kayak.
Yeah.
And the other hand, I had my phone and my... journal straight up in the air, so I just had to lay on my back and
this
kick.
Was a paper journal. You brought a paper book onto the water.
Let's all calm down. I'm a really good kayaker.
Clearly.
Until I'm not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's how it goes, usually.
So, but pro tip, life lesson number 565, Leander's journal. The rice trick works for your phone.
And the journal.
And
put your journal in rice.
Yes, put the journal in rice.
Dries it right up.
No, I actually, when I fell in, everything went under. Everything was under the water. And then I put back my hand up to keep it dry. When I got to shore, I went straight to the store. Like maybe 20 minutes later, I got home with the rice. Made the bowl, submerged the phone in there, turned it on. It was horrible. It wasn't working. So I put it back in the rice. And for like 8 hours, I feel like it was a long time. And then I took it out and it started working. No problems.
I tried the rice trick the first week I had my smartphone. It was the first smartphone I ever got. I jumped into a pool with it in my pocket, and I realized mid-jump it was in my pocket.
Okay, so you were able to quickly...
So I got out faster than, like, I think I got out of the pool quicker than the time it took me to jump into the pool. I was like, doing, nope, ouch, whoosh, out of the pool. I was maybe in the water for, like, 4 seconds.
Right.
Did he
try
to
rice
in?
Trick for days? Didn't work.
No.
Broken screen. So I had to do the pay $250 at Radio Shack trick, and that worked.
And that worked just great. Did you break? Did you already have cracks in the screen? Before
no.
You
it was
in?
It was brand new, but it was refurbished new.
Okay.
So that might have been part of the reason.
So when you jumped in the water, it cracked then?
No, it didn't crack.
Oh, I thought I heard you say cracked.
No,
okay.
It didn't crack. It just I went sploosh,
gotcha.
Got out. So yeah.
And that was pretty quick.
It was real quick.
Wow.
But, yeah, the rice trick didn't work for me.
That's unfortunate.
Because that's how my life goes. But,
anyways, that's my life, Lou.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, I did a little wilderness adventuring. Mm-hmm. I was in northern Michigan.
Nice.
And actually, I visited a couple comic book stores. Mm-hmm. One was in Ann Arbor. So if you're in Ann Arbor, check out the Vault of Midnight. It was really big. It was kind of like a superstore. Hmm. They had like 800 bin customers.
Holy crap.
I was like, what?
That's pretty serious.
Yeah. It was a really good store, though. And then I went to another store in Alpena, which is pretty far north. It's kind of like up there. And that guy had just opened. He like literally opened like the week before. Mm-hmm. Had a bunch of just long boxes full of unsorted dollar books. And I was like, I think I see what's going on here. We're like, just getting the wheels rolling on this one. But it was cool. He was really nice. And I found a couple books.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Nice. And why were you in Michigan?
Oh, I was visiting my girlfriend's family.
Nice.
Pretty well. We shot guns.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
At each other?
No, thankfully not.
So it went well. Okay.
Hey, Lou, mess around my daughter. Let's go to the firing range.
Because she seems to like you, I'm going to give you a 10-minute head start. But when I find you, you's going to die.
That is, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, how was that? I mean, everyone dreads the dad introduction. How was it?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah?
I don't dread anything.
Okay.
Everyone likes me.
All right, well, that's good. Well, other people dread it, so how was it? Just so they can understand the experience.
I don't know. It was fine.
Nothing awkward?
No, right. Not really.
Okay. Yeah. Nice and simple.
Yeah. Oh, except I made one joke where I said...
never make jokes.
No, don't
never,
make jokes.
You never make
ultra
jokes.
Ultra serious.
It's over. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
They're always, this was pretty bad, and I
they're always going to remember this joke.
Yes, they will.
I delivered it really deadpan. I said...
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I said, I promised my AA group I wouldn't drink tonight.
Meanwhile, Uncle Tom's in AA, so obviously... It's even more horrible.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I still think it's funny.
Poor Uncle Tommy.
Poor Uncle Tommy.
One day. Yeah. One day, bud.
How about you, Tim?
I got a lot of stuff going on that's not finalized. But the only thing I do want to talk about is something finally happened that I've been trying to do for months.
What?
Finally. After probably 4 or 5 months or however long it's been.
Yeah.
Finally beat my son in Super Smash Brothers.
Wow.
I could not beat him.
Okay, now was this a legit win, or was he
was
like
legit.
King DDD and you were Star Fox or something?
No, I was, what's the character, Robin?
Okay.
The spell book and whatnot.
Is this the brand new Wii U one? Or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, not brand new, but the new
yes,
one.
Yes, the newest version. And I just could not beat him. I tried every character. I would do good. But he's insane, because that's his life. That's all he does. Mm-hmm.
Your fault as a parent, by the way.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe get him outside.
I've been trying.
Exercise.
I've been trying. I made him go outside the other day. He sat in the chair out front of the house, and like 5 minutes later, he's like, all right, I'm done with that. Both my kids are so plugged in, and they used to always be outside. I think it's because, you know, they're at that teenage years where it's like social media is my life, not actually going and seeing my friends. Like, they used to be outside all the time.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I'm a big fan of that either. It's like, where are my kids?
Yeah.
But they're stepkids, it doesn't matter.
Oh my god, you know your wife listens to this.
She doesn't.
Yeah, she does. She likes everything we do.
Clearly, yeah, but clearly she doesn't listen. Sometimes I sprinkle
liking
it.
And listening ain't the same thing.
No, right. So yeah, that's me.
But what character was he when you beat him?
He was. We played so many. I'm trying to think who I beat him. I think he was Little Mac, actually, which Little Mac's kind of cheap.
Yeah, he's
a good.
Well, that's good. Congrats.
Yeah.
I was excited. Well, like, I literally, like, I put the controller down, I just looked at him, I'm like, finally. Validation for my existence.
That's right.
I was like, now go get a shower and go to bed.
It's 4 a.m. and you have school.
What are you doing?
This is all your fault.
Yeah. You're grounded. You can't be up till 4 a.m. playing video games on a school night, but Dad, don't put Dad me. You're grounded.
There's only an excuse.
Move
if you
on.
I'm very happy he likes video games that much. It's like, yeah. Go do something with your son. I'm like, we're going to go play video games.
Yeah, I know very well what it's like to be terrible at video games. I think in college, I told my friend I was going to play him in 100 matches of Street Fighter 2. And after losing 43 in a row, I quit in frustration and rage.
Yeah. I love Street Fighter. That's my fighting game.
Yeah, I love Street Fighter. I like it, but it's not my fighting game.
Yeah, you're a Mortal Kombat guy.
Yeah.
Or so you or play, Marvel, I beat you in that.
Marvel versus Capcom guy.
Yeah, you know, you whoop me in that.
Yeah,
that's true.
That was a good game.
Yep.
So I want to talk about this article I found. It's sure. It's on the AV Club, on the Onion, but it's Simon Pegg.
Sure.
And if you don't know, Simon Pegg's the guy from Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, right? The British guy?
Yep, and he was in Star Trek.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's where people who don't know those movies might say no from.
Yeah, that's right. He was Scotty in Star Trek. Okay, I forgot. But he's like trashing like nerd culture, I guess. All right, well, I'll just read the quote and see what you guys think about it. Say, obviously, I'm very much a self-confessed fan of science fiction and genre cinema, but part of me looks at society as it is now and just thinks we've been infantilized by our own taste. Now we're essentially all consuming very childish things. Comic books, superheroes, adults are watching this stuff and taking it seriously! Exclamation point. It's kind of a dumbing down in a way, because it's taking our focus away from real-world issues. Films used to be about challenging emotional journeys or moral questions that might make you walk away and reevaluate how you felt about whatever. Now we're walking out of the cinema, really not thinking about anything other than the fact that the Hulk just had a fight with a robot. I don't know.
Mm.
That seems like...
It's a little rough.
It's a little BS too rough. To me.
It's a little too rough.
Yeah.
I get what he's saying, but it's still too... Really, he shouldn't have said it that way.
Because we talked a little bit about this last time, but, like...
It was a little tasteless, I'm going to say.
He must have had a bad day.
Yeah. He should have just calmed
was
down.
Was he drunk?
He needed to calm down.
Yeah.
It's not like his opinion is wrong if he has it, but, like, the way all that is worded is really wrong.
It was all the wording, completely. I get what he's saying. I would support him on a normal day if he was having a normal day, but he obviously
was
upset.
But it's also kind of BS. Like, the part... He says... Films used to be about challenging emotional journeys or moral questions. Oh, they did? Every single one of them?
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Yeah, the Goonies.
The Goonies. Like, these were about emotional journeys and moral questions. Like, how many Western...
How many of his movies were about that?
Right.
Honestly.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great movies, but not for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, this is... I mean, it's true. Some films used to be about challenging emotional journeys, and since the beginning of cinema, or the beginning of everything, like, not, you know, like, you say that, oh, films used to be about, shut up. No, they didn't.
That's a really, and he didn't even, like, specify a genre, at least if he said action movies aren't even about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great movies, recent movies, that really do challenge your moral, you know, thoughts and make you think about, all right, what... How should I think? Hell, Avengers did. I really liked the Avengers movie because I thought it did. It made me think about, you know, the humanity side of what I should be dealing with when, you know, thinking about the AI. Because I think I said this in the last one, my favorite quote of the entire movie was between the Vision and Ultron at the end, where he said, you know, Ultron's like, you know, humanity is doomed. Like, we're going to destroy the world. We're going to overpopulate. We're going to freaking climate change, all that good stuff. He didn't say that, but that's what I said in my head. And, Ultron was like, yeah, that's completely true. Humanity's effed. What did I say?
Vision said Ultron.
And so Vision said, yeah. And then he said, but Vision said, but there's a beauty in seeing things through the end. It's like, there's no need for you to accelerate humanity's death. Let it just happen on its own. And I thought that was pretty profound.
Science fiction has always kind of like sought to, you know, change your... views on, you know, the human condition and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I just, this quote, like, he's a good actor, you know, and there is some truth to, oh, maybe there's too much of it, but, you know, like, it just seems arrogant to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, pop culture is pop culture, whether that's superheroes or whether it's the 60s and it's like a million billion spaghetti westerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, how many of those were just throwaway movies? You know, plenty.
Spaghetti westerns.
No, I love them, and there's great ones, but for every one that we remember today, there was probably like 15 that no one ever watched again or even bothered to put on the DVD or even VHS, so.
I think it'll be interesting when it all comes full circle, when somebody options The Boys, because clearly Huey is based off of him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100% they based that off of Simon Pegg, that character.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know one day they'll make that movie and he'll be in it.
All right, he actually goes on to say a lot worse stuff.
Oh, good.
From recent developments in popular culture were arguably predicted by the French philosopher and cultural theorist Jean Belliard in his book America, in which he talks about the infantilization of society. Put simply, this idea is that as a society, we are kept in a state of arrested development by dominant forces in order to keep us more pliant. We are made passionate about the things that occupied us as children and a means of drawing our attention away from the things we really should be invested in: inequality, corruption, economic justice, etc. And he just goes on about...
Here's what I just heard. I heard, my marriage is on the rocks and I haven't gotten laid in a long time. That's all I heard you saying the entire time.
That's so unfair, but I love it.
I don't think everybody is qualified to talk about politics and all these bigger issues. Some people just aren't. There are dumb people in this world. Sure. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
There are people that can't handle politics and other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
The Daily Show is as far as they go.
Yeah. And that's fine. You know, not everyone... Like, there's the point of this stuff is escapism, right? Like, we want to, like, read comics and watch movies because sometimes you don't want to think about all the terrible, terrible things in this world.
Right.
I wonder how much backlash he's getting already. Are people boycotting him? Are people like, no, no more?
Oh, but that would make me mad, too.
That would make me really mad.
because
I do like him. I think he's just having a bad day.
Yeah, it's
just... The internet doesn't forget when you have a bad day.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Wow, yeah. Mm. That's true.
The internet never forgets.
But...
Especially, like, you know, a year from now when he says something contradictory to it and they're going to roast him.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yep. But
so I guess the moral of the story is don't be mean to Simon Pegg if you see him on the street. He had a rough day. He had a bad day.
He had a bad day.
Yeah.
I think I'm done with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this latest thing?
Are you done because of that?
I was done. I was almost done anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess we should explain it.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know anything about it.
I didn't see it the way that a lot of people saw it. I really didn't.
I didn't watch it. But I want you to...
There's a lot of its.
Okay, well, here's what happens, and this is... I'll try to do this in the most non-spoiler way I can, which will be hard, so hopefully this makes sense. Basically, a female lead character ends up getting married to someone she doesn't want to get married to. He's sort of kind of a scumbag, and he's a darker character.
Mm-hmm.
Goes through with that marriage, and on the night where they consummate it, he pretty much rips her clothes off and just takes it. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't super offended by it because it didn't seem like this big rape scene, so to speak, because she was willing to... She married the guy. She knew what was going to happen on the wedding night. But on top of that, that kind of action is typical of these medieval times that the Game of Thrones are supposedly like. You know what I mean? Actually, they're probably too nice to women on that show compared to how historically accurate it would be.
Yeah.
And I know it's fantasy and all that. I'm just saying they're based off of more medieval times.
Yeah. But, like, I was kind of on the fence about even watching this season just because of all the... it's, like, stressful at this point to watch, you know? It's like you want to, like... I mean, it's well done and well written, but it's like now at this point I'm like, I'm just tired of watching terrible things happen to these characters in realistic and gratuitous ways that, like, I don't even know if I care what happens in the story. Like, it's almost not worth... Like, the payoff isn't even worth it, the journey, at this point for me. And then I saw that and I was like, well, it must have been pretty bad because there already was a rape scene in season 4.
Right.
Between two characters. And, like, no one made a big deal about that I can remember.
It
flew under the radar. So it's like, well, some rape scenes are worse than others, I guess.
I
so
understand.
If this one's the one that's, like, stirring the pot, then, do I even want to go down that road?
I don't know. I think you should see the scene and judge it.
I don't even know if I feel like putting myself through it.
I don't think, story-wise...
Let's get out the clipboard and judge the severity of each rape scene that's going to happen for the rest of this goddamn show.
I mean, like, you hear moaning, you hear grunting. She clearly isn't into it, but you hear him ripping her dress off.
Mm-hmm.
but I mean, he's an asshole character. Like,
no, I know, and like I understand that everyone
in the context of the story.
I understand all of it.
I don't think it was.
I understand where the show goes and that these characters are all terrible people.
Mm-hmm. But I think people should know that watching this show. Yeah. I don't think they should have been too surprised by that.
No, and that's fine. And if you want to keep going, I wouldn't judge people for watching it because it's a fictional story.
A lot of people jumped off on this, and I didn't see it like that. I don't know.
But, I mean, maybe it's just like a build-up. Like, they've been watching it for 5 seasons. Horrible stuff has happened. People's skin gets ripped off and heads chopped off and, you know, yeah, like torture all scenes and
yeah,
and more than one rape. And this was the point. Maybe people are just like, you know what? It's enough. Let's just watch some Daredevil. But the other thing is, like, I started Daredevil. I'm 4 episodes into Daredevil.
Which
and
is
like,
great.
Mm-hmm. Brutal stuff happens in Daredevil.
Right, yes.
But it's different because, like, it's the kind of good escapism. Like, there's a clear good guy who does good things and there's clear bad guys and they do bad things. And there's like a, you know, like a moral struggle there. Like, you have a moral compass in Daredevil. Like, he's trying to do the right thing. And even though this, like, bloody stuff is happening, you know, it's like, you know, at least you can get, like, centered a little bit by knowing that there is a good character, like, with good intentions. And a problem with a lot of the HBO shows, like Game of Thrones, and, like, even I felt this way about The Sopranos and some other shows. It's like, there's no good guy. And, like, every time you think someone's going to do something good, they just, like, tear your heart out and, like, do, like, the worst thing they can possibly do.
I look at Game of Thrones almost like a survival horror movie where it's like, I just want to see it through to the end and see who ends up on the throne.
Who makes it.
That's it. That's all it is. Is it worth, like, 20 seasons of this by the time it's done? Probably not.
Yeah.
Especially next season's going to go off the books because there is no book for it to keep going off of.
Really?
He hasn't written it yet. Mm, he's writing it now. They went too fast, I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah.
They'll have to figure that out.
Yeah. But I mean, I sympathize with people who are like, all right, enough is enough. We can find something a little brighter to do with our Sunday nights.
Yeah, we'll wait for The Walking Dead to come back. There's no weird violence in that one.
All right, touche.
So yeah, good additions there, Lou. Mm-hmm. Proud of you.
Appreciate
it. Brought good stuff to the table.
He does that. No comics, but he always brings something.
No, wait, I have a review today.
Okay,
I do. I have a review, but we'll talk about that later
after the news.
All right. Well, I don't have a ton of news, and I'll probably trim it down a little bit. So basically, there's just a couple news things to talk about. Did you hear about who got added to the writing team for the next Transformers movies?
No idea. Next Transformers movies.
Right, that was my initial reaction. But it's gonna balance out, and you're gonna be like, maybe. Because I checked out on Transformers after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I said it's good for what it is. I don't care. I'm done with the rest. Okay. I did see the third one because it was on HBO and Leonard Nimoy was in it. It's the only reason. But Robert Kirkman from Walking Dead is on the writing team.
That's intense.
So does that change your opinion of going to go see another Transformers movie?
No, I've never seen a Transformers movie except for the original animated Transformers movie.
Well,
yeah, which also had Leonard Nimoy.
Yes. You got the touch. You got the power.
But no, I don't care. William Shakespeare could rise from the grave and write the next Transformers movie. I wouldn't go see it.
All right.
Yeah, I'll see it. I was going to see it anyways. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You've seen all the other ones?
No, but I would have.
You would have.
I just didn't have time.
That's fair. I'm not a big fan of the franchise. But
in general?
In general. Okay. I think it's good for, because we have our Transformers from our generation. This is just modern takes on them, and it is geared towards kids in a way.
Yeah.
It is that escapism with giant robots and explosions and things. It doesn't work for me. It works for a younger generation. And I'm glad a younger generation has these movies.
Sure. Yeah, every generation needs their big robot.
Exactly.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah. And I have The Flash season 1 finale happened. Nice. Do you guys have any plans on watching The Flash?
Because we're
going to spoil all this
Actually,
stuff.
I mean, I caught... my roommates are watching it, and I caught some scenes of it, and it just looked really corny. Mm. And not like something I would watch. Especially after Daredevil.
Well, yeah, it's apples and oranges there. Yeah. Like, it's on the CW. Like, it's funny. Like, there's certain things, especially in this finale, where the special effects for TV were really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, CW has a trick. They do all this lovey drama kind of stuff all season long to save on time and budget. And then they go and they explode stuff in the finales.
Right.
But if you're a fan, even a little bit, of the Flash comics, you will love the show. The show is actually very, very good. They revealed a bunch of things. There's a scene in the finale where Barry Allen finally enters the time stream, because they're all leading up to time travel. So you see both future and past in the time stream. And some of the things that they reveal in it, they show you the Flash Museum in the future. They show an alternate reality. They're going to do alternate realities, Earth 1, Earth 2, probably. They show Barry in prison. It's like alternate where his father doesn't end up in prison. He ends up in prison. They reveal Killer Frost. They showed her, the character Caitlin Snow. They showed her as Killer Frost in the time stream. They showed little things about Earth 2 and the multiverses. The best thing, though, was basically in the finale, the Reverse Flash is going to try to go back to his time while Barry goes back and tries to save his mother from being murdered. That's your plot line. And that has to happen at the same time. So he has to let him go in order to go back. And when the Reverse Flash is about to go, Jay Garrick, the original Flash, the Mercury, the one that looks like Mercury, the god with the metal helmet, the metal helmet goes through the time stream and lands on the floor. He's like, oh, I gotta go. It was awesome. A little fan service there where I was like, oh my god. I was super excited. It's funny. Like, I don't get excited for anything in shows, but I was like, oh, man, Jay Garrick, that's cool. That's knowing your fans. Anyways, they end up causing more havoc than they should in that finale, and it ended differently than you would have expected. So I urge everybody, because it's going to end up on Netflix, I'm sure, really soon, probably when season 2 starts up again. So everybody should check out the show. It was really, really good. Arrow season 3, not so much, but we'll see. And then Legends of Tomorrow is the spin-off show that is going to be happening from Arrow and Flash, with characters from both series being a makeshift team, so to speak. And they're going to go through time, and it's all about time travel now. So I don't know about this show. I don't know if it'll be any good. I'll probably watch the first season and then give up on it. But the team is Rip Hunter, which we talked about. They casted him. It's just random time travel guy. Firestorm, Hawk Girl, Heat Wave, Captain Cold, White Canary, and the Atom are the team. It's a weird team, but it's all characters for the most part that were established on these shows already.
Okay.
So a lot of people are really excited for it. I don't get that excited about this whole universe. I enjoy Arrow. I thought the last season was kind of blah. Flash has been really good. So if it gets to the point where it's like, I'll just watch Flash, I don't care if they tie into other things, then that's what I'll do. But that's what a lot of people were very excited about. Mm. And that's our news.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of hero stuff going on in general. Yeah, you kind of...
It's almost like I could see Simon Pegg having a bad day and getting mad about it. Because there's days where I'm like, oh, it's everywhere. Oh, right. Stop.
Right. It is kind of everywhere. It's nice for us. It's nice that the geeks, the new geeks of the New World Order are like, they have so many opportunities to do anything they want. There's no reason for you not to be a geek. It's for you to be a geek and to not be out and proud of it. So at this point,
absolutely,
because everyone's excited about it.
Even the term, it's
even
just
the term.
Like commonplace now.
Yeah.
Geek culture.
Yeah, it's actually the most popular, to be quite honest.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Be proud of it. Everyone's out. We're
back
all having
a good time. Back in the day, you didn't want to be called a geek.
Nope. That was a big deal.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, now we're taking over.
So what's the new subculture? The next subculture is like jock subculture.
Yeah, yeah.
Back. Like bro, like the return of the bro.
The bro culture.
Yeah, bro culture. Bro,
that could
culture.
Be. Bro culture.
Everybody has a GoPro on all the time. Everybody's walking around with helmets with GoPros on.
The tank top industry surges.
I gotta wear my GoPro, dude, just in case something awesome breaks out.
Yeah, although... Oh, I'm not going to talk about that. Sorry, never mind.
The bro pro.
The bro pro?
My brother has a GoPro. He has really good footage of... He was in a kayak also, and he...
Did he drop his journal into the water?
He didn't bring a journal, if you can believe it, that he didn't take a journal into his kayaking trip. I don't know what he was thinking, leaving his journal at home.
He's not a visionary.
But he's got a pretty good footage of him putting the GoPro on the front of the kayak, pointing back at him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Going into a wave and just wiping the hell out. just getting destroyed. It's really good.
That's the best.
It's really good.
That's awesome.
Look at that guy putting the GoPro on the kayak. Are you good at kayaking? No, this is going to be great.
This is going to be the best ever.
You're going to love it. All right, well, we're going to get into the reviews, which is actually kind of part of the news, because we have the female Thor reveal, and we have Secret Wars, so, I don't know, do you guys want to review things first, and then we'll end on that, or what do you want to do? What do you guys have to review?
Well, Lou has one, right?
I have one.
Yeah, let's
go ahead, Lou.
All right, well, my review is, it's kind of an older book.
Okay.
But I finally finished the entire run of Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force.
Oh, all right. Well played.
I read Ultimate Collection Volume 1 and 2, and if you don't have this book, like, get it.
Isn't it awesome?
It is awesome. Oh, everyone told me it was awesome for years. I finally got around. I read the whole thing. It's 35 issues. It's in two volumes. And just from beginning to end, it is awesome. Everyone who told me about it was right.
And now you understand why we're so upset with Axis, because we're like, we know what you can do.
Yeah.
Remender.
But it's the kind of thing where it seems like, you know, they just gave him leave to do what he wanted and, like, set up his story. So there's overarching themes. Like, I like that. I mean, the point of X-Force is, like, Wolverine starts a team to just, like, kill threats to mutants, you know, before they can, like, really mess them up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that whole moral issue of, like, well, we're supposed to be X-Men, but this team, we kill people. And then it's the whole, it's like, it's, you know, not a unique concept of, oh, we're sinking down to their level. And they don't hammer you over the head with it, but it is there. Different characters feel different ways about it at different times in the story.
Mm-hmm.
It sets up, you know, kind of a parallelism between the good, what are supposed to be the good guys and the bad guys. And, like, it's also pretty brutal, the stuff that happens mm-hmm. in the end. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And, towards the last few issues, the art's kind of more cartoony. And if it wasn't, if it was like serious dark art, like the original 2008 run, I would be like, probably like, oh my God, I can't read this. But yeah, so like violent stuff does happen. But man, the storytelling's really good mm-hmm. and it wraps up nicely. And yeah, I recommend it to everybody. Like,
yeah, it's solid.
Yeah, and that's no secret. I mean, I know that's probably the reason why I got printed into those big volumes, because mm-hmm. it's probably a really good seller, but yeah, with good reason. So, check that out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Do you want to review a book before we go into all this other stuff?
Sure. I would talk about... well, I'll start with what I have on top. Uncanny Avengers... number 4, which is a Rick Remender book. Uncanny Avengers has been great since number 1 for me, personally. And that's when Ryan Young mentioned to me I should read Uncanny X-Force, is because I was loving Uncanny Avengers, and Uncanny Avengers follows almost from the pages of Uncanny X-Force. Uh-huh. A lot of stuff that happens in here is out of the pages of Uncanny X-Force. Not in that issue, but since the beginning. So, Uncanny X-Force number 4. I'm still...
Uncanny
Avengers, thank you. Number 4. It's a good issue. It's revealing stuff, more things about the High Evolutionary. It reveals more things about this kind of civil war that's going on between these species that the High Evolutionary has been trying to cultivate for a long time. Every time he creates a species and he's like, you're slightly flawed, he erases them completely.
Hmm.
So, but some people get out of the purge, and so there's like this cult of people trying to rise up. But they're nowhere near close enough to ever defeat him, so they're pretty useless. So in this new team with Sabretooth and Rogue and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, Vision, Dr. Voodoo. I know.
Don't know when he got his doctorate.
And Captain America, the Black Captain America. It's okay. It's just not my favorite anymore. It's not like the beginning of Uncanny Avengers. The team just isn't strong enough. It's not, you don't feel attachment to the team anymore, unfortunately. The book is kind of scattered all over the place, which makes sense because the team is all split up, you know, right now in these first couple issues. but it still just didn't fit right for some reason. Sabretooth on the team doesn't fit right either yet.
No, it's not working.
No, it's just not working. They're trying, but it's just too difficult. And Secret Wars is happening, so why is Uncanny Avengers not being affected? It's too much for me to handle right now. But if it wasn't for Secret Wars, I might actually be okay with this situation, but I really can't read any Marvel titles that are not tied in to Secret Wars. It's pissing me off.
You're like, hey, do you guys remember that the world ended?
Right, exactly. I mean,
are you people?
How are you still having new issues? The world is over.
This was a flashback scene or a dream sequence or what, guys? Get with the program.
They do kind of talk about maybe it's going to tie into Secret Wars in the next episode, the next issue, but why are we waiting to the next issue? It's already had the world's over. The two worlds collided. Why are we talking about anything anymore? So
why are we talking about anything?
I will always be upset with what happened with Secret Wars. I will always be upset. For as long as I live, about how Marvel handled Secret Wars.
So I guess we should talk about Secret Wars.
Sure, fine.
Lou, have you read any of the Secret Wars? Or you?
I've read the first one. We reviewed it last time.
That's right, we did.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't read number two because someone didn't add it to my pull bin.
Well, you know what? Too bad. So, Leander, what have you read of the Secret Wars stuff?
All right, Secret Wars 1, Secret Wars 2, and then a couple of final days.
Okay. What is your initial thought of those books?
I hate Secret Wars 2. Final Days of is okay. It's actually pretty... The Captain America and the Mighty Avengers Final Days is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was very emotional,
to be
quite honest. The idea that the heroes finally just tell everyone, by the way, in like a couple hours, the whole world is going to die and deal with it. And so everyone's like, how do I deal with the fact that I know that the world is about to end? And, you know, they do the best they can, but everyone's kind of freaking out, and they handle the end of the world in different ways. Mm-hmm. So it was very deep to an extent, because Captain America and the Mighty Avengers is one of the few books, Marvel books, where it's about the people.
Right.
So you get to get people's perspective, and I like that the most. It was very human touch, not superhuman touch, just a human touch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I didn't enjoy Secret Wars number two. Mm-hmm. I hated it.
Yeah.
But that's me. And I just going forward, I don't know how I'm going to feel about Marvel.
Yeah.
Because I don't like this idea.
Nope.
And I read...
Now I want to know what happens.
You can look through it. You won't know what happens. It's just a horrible story.
So I read A-Force and Planet Hulk.
A-Force came out. I ordered A-Force. It's not in my bin.
You did not order A-Force.
I wanted to.
Here you go. You can have that.
wow. So, a glowing review. There you go.
So A-Force is a steaming pile of crap.
Oh, no.
It is the book that She-Hulk is leading an Avenger X-Force team that is all female characters, which is fine. It's like every female character ever. One of the characters violates... In Secret Wars, your god of the universe is Victor Von Doom. He's in charge of everything. And I'll try to non-spoil
you
this
spoil,
as much
you know
as I
what,
can.
You can spoil it, I don't care.
They set up in Secret Wars 2 and in all the spin-off books that I can tell, they set up that the Thor core, which is every Thor from every universe, basically, are like his lapdogs, and they're his police force.
Hmm.
And if something goes wrong, the Thors are coming to whoop you. So
pretty cool.
It's all right. I just like that Beta Ray Bill shows up more, because I love Beta Ray Bill. But in A-Force, one of the female characters... violates the laws of Doom and has to be exiled, and the Thors come to get her, and it kind of riles everybody up, and She-Hulk is deciding to whether she's going to rise against Doom, which is like impossible. You can't beat Doom. And the one thing it does do is it gives you an idea of the different borders for Secret Wars. Like, if you leave your border, or you like what the character did, there was this big undersea whale kind of creature that pops up, and it was about to kill one of the other characters, and she picked it up and threw it outside the border. It literally lands in another zone, and that's a violation, and Doom sends the Thors to go get her. It was really uneventful for having so many characters. It was actually really boring.
Mm.
It didn't really accomplish anything. I love She-Hulk. I love a lot of the characters in it. I didn't see Jubilee in there at all.
I'm
sorry.
I was looking for her only.
Did they edit her out of the cover? Like, is she even on there? I feel like...
Yeah, she's still there.
Okay, she's still there? Good.
Yeah.
yeah, it was just like, who can we throw in the panels? And like, oh, here's Spider-Gwen, she's hot, let's put her in the corner here. And like, it didn't accomplish anything. Planet Hulk, the one I was excited for, I don't know how I feel about it. Because I really said, my opinion going into this was, it's either going to be the greatest thing ever, or the worst thing ever, but either way, the concept was really good.
And that cover is awesome.
Yes, it is a giant Hulk fist. That is an
amazing cover.
With tiny little Hulk fists around it, about to punch Conan Captain America. So, this is everything I thought it was. But I can't decide if it's going towards the bad or the good side of things. So, the plot is Cap is like Conan the Barbarian. He's fighting in the pits. Arcade runs the pits. It was kind of cool. He beats the Wolverine clan. It's just a bunch of guys with claws that are dressed like Wolverine. And it's him and Devil Dinosaur. He wins this big tournament just so Arcade can get close enough to him that he grabs him and Devil Dinosaur swallows them both but doesn't swallow them. He's trying to interrogate him. You find the plot is he needs to find Bucky. He's just trying to find Bucky. That's it. And Bucky disappeared. Can't find him. Arcade does not die. He actually is able to defend himself and defeat both of them real quick. And then he gets thrown before Doom, who is the god of everything. And Doctor Strange is like his number two. And he's very Peter Baelish from Game of Thrones. He's very much that character. That's exactly who they're writing him as. And he's like, you know, you've violated a lot of stuff and Doom can't be bothered with you. But we'll give you one more chance. You need to go kill these Hulks in the Greenland is where it's Greenland, of course. Which you need to kill all them, and you can find Bucky because we sent Bucky to do it and he failed. That's where Bucky is. So go. You want him? Go ahead. Go get him. But kill this person along the way. So it's him versus a bazillion Hulks is what it's leading up to. I wasn't super thrilled with it, but like I said, as a whole, it might be okay. They do have a backup story by Greg Pak, who did the original Planet Hulk stuff, and it just explains the world and how it came to be, which that was okay. It wasn't amazing, but it was a good that they threw that in there, because I'm like, I don't care about this. I don't understand this. Like, Hulks versus Thors, and the Thors just own them. And basically, it was a big... In this universe, the Gamma Bomb was sent on a missile, basically, and they were able to, instead of making it blow everything up, they reprogrammed it, so it just turned everyone into Hulks. So where it detonated, everybody turned into a Red Hulk, a Gray Hulk, a Green Hulk, whatever.
I see.
So Secret Wars is very bleh to me.
Yeah. So what can you? Because I didn't read number two, but like, where are all these universes coming from? Like, I'm looking at the advertisement in the middle of this book, and this is some crazy crap here. Yeah. We got Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number one. We got Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde. What? 1602 Witch Hunter Angela. Like, Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, well...
Feels like a cash grab, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
I feel like it's the shotgun approach, where they're just like, just try all this crazy stuff, which I kind of appreciate, and they're going to see which ones are good.
Like the New 52?
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like the New 52.
It is, except it isn't.
But I like the cons. The concepts are so wacky. I can't help but smile at Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos. What?
The only difference is New 52.
Yeah, he'll remember that one.
Yeah.
You're like, you don't know what's going on with Secret Wars, but damned if I'll forget Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos.
It actually is important that you put at least one of those in your bin, because Tim and I did go through all of them, and we decided which ones we wanted to put in our bin. We're only going to put like one or two or three, but that's it. And it's only going to be for the podcast, because if it wasn't for the fact that I was on a podcast, I would...
I'm telling you right now,
Marvel would be gone forever.
Wow. You're so dramatic.
I am not dramatic.
You're so dramatic.
First of all...
All the comic companies do this every couple years.
Right.
Like, it's predictable. Like, they do the New 52. They shake everything up. Everything gets weird. Everyone talks about it. But, and then it just fixes itself.
The big difference, though, was New 52, most of those titles already existed. You were losing Batman and gaining Batman. You were losing these and getting them right back. There was only a few that were different. And most of those properties already existed. They weren't major stretches. They weren't Conan version of Captain America.
Here's, yeah, but I,
also,
well, actually, can you explain something to me? Yeah, like, where maybe. Is this stuff coming from? Like, do I need to read Secret Wars number 2 to understand why there's Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos and no. a Planet of Hulk?
It no, does I, don't help you. I don't understand why a lot of these have happened, actually.
It does help you with Ultron versus the Marvel Zombies.
But are these just different worlds in the yes. universe?
Yes.
That
Think
came
of
about?
It as They're a bazillion Earths, yeah. and they all crack apart and they merge together. As this new world.
One place.
Oh, it's one, okay.
All of that
okay.
is one place.
All right, so all the universes that were destroyed mm-hmm. are now just, they all just
Pocket
came
lands.
Into Battleworld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. and that there's different aspects
why,
of
yes,
each.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I want to yeah, know. That's all that's why
they
this
all have
stuff
borders and you don't violate
you
the
do
border.
You do not cross a border.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes more
Doom
sense.
Doom glued it together with borders.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
You know what? I don't know. Like, maybe if the books suck, that's one thing.
Yeah, that's one thing.
I mean, don't worry, guys. Spider-Man's coming back. Like, X-Men titles are coming back. They're not... Is this like the Age of Apocalypse thing, where all the X-Men books stopped, and we had Age of Apocalypse for 3 months, and there were a bunch of weird titles with everything was different, and then guess what? It all came back. So it's not like this is... You
this
know,
feels
we're not going to be talking about, you know...
Feel this feels different, though, Lou.
We're not going to be talking about 1602 Witch Hunter Angela
no,
four
no,
months from now.
Clearly one where we're not going to talk about
We it. Might, though.
I don't think so.
I think...
They're not, yeah.
It feels well, different.
Yeah, guys. Marvel just tanked all their properties, and they're just rolling the dice on Future Imperfect number 1 and Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps.
What a bad
Yeah,
name.
That's what happened. That's what happened. They just jumped ship on, Spider-Man and X-Men.
I'm not saying that these books won't be back. I know these books will be back.
Yeah, you know.
But the thing is, like, how many people stopped reading DC with the New 52, and they didn't do as big of a shakeup as this?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. It's a huge gamble. And Marvel can afford it because they got Mickey Mouse money and everything. And,
sure,
and
yeah.
the biggest movies of all time.
Right.
This is the time for them to take this risk.
Yeah
that's
this,
how I'd
yeah.
say go a little crazy.
Well, here's
come
the
up
other
with
thing.
Wacky ideas
I,
like Ghost Racer.
The problem
one.
Is I hate everything I've read.
Yeah, and the other thing too, the other difference between like, so when DC did 52, you can go to Marvel. When Marvel's doing this crap, you could have gone to DC if you like DC, but I don't even think I want to go to DC. The difference is that you don't have to go to Marvel or DC anymore. That's not, I can, there's so many books I'd rather read from Image and other things. I don't need Marvel anymore. I just don't. And they're making me realize
so
that I don't need
it
anymore.
You're not going to stop reading
Marvel. I can
you're
totally stop
so
reading
dramatic.
Marvel. I am not being dramatic. I can stop
just
reading.
Just wait 2 months until
so now you're forcing
everything.
Me to not be dramatic anymore by making me read more books.
Captain America's coming back.
No, it's
Wolverine's
going
to be back soon. Everything's going to be normal. Just enjoy the wild ride, unless the books suck. And in which case, just don't read them and then wait till it comes back. Read Groot number 1, June 2015.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Books like Rocket Raccoon are ending with this. The people who get Rocket Raccoon are going to get Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
No.
Not really.
No.
That's like when they ended X-Men Legacy and then it turned into Nightcrawler for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's completely... That's two totally different things. Anyways,
I'm getting frustrated with Marvel, that's all.
Well, let's move on. Let's tack this on to the end real quick here because we're low on time. Let's talk female Thor. The big reveal... You know who it is.
What? You want to get your grubby paws on my book?
Oh, my gosh. It's not that big of a deal.
So they revealed who it was. Do you know?
You can tell me. I don't care. I don't know.
It's somebody they made you think it wasn't, which was a nice swerve. It's Jane Foster.
Hmm.
Who was dying of cancer in bed and, like, on the end of her rope. And she is the female Thor. They revealed her at the end of the book. She did not reveal herself to anyone. It's just that you follow her back and you see who it is. Odin's son, the male Thor, he was trying to get her to tell, and she wouldn't. He's like, I'll tell you what Nick Fury whispered in my ear that made me unworthy. And they didn't reveal that either.
Oh,
so
it was way more important than
I agree.
The reveal.
Well, he knows. It's interesting that he was bartering with her, and she's like, I can't, and she flies away. She ends up back, I guess she's on the moon or whatever it is, wherever her space station, I don't know what's up with her. Because earlier, in earlier issues, it had the Asgardians trying to heal her with different medicines and different things from different worlds. And so she sends the hammer away, and she ends up back in bed. And she says at the end, I will never stop being Thor as long as I can, but being Thor is killing me quicker.
Hmm.
So her being Thor is absolutely murdering her. The question is now, we know after Secret Wars the female Thor still exists. But we don't necessarily know that it's Jane Foster. It could be a different female Thor. It could be somebody from Secret Wars. We don't know. It was an okay reveal. The book has been amazing. I just wish it was someone else. I'm not, like, mad about it. It would have been more surprising, maybe better. Like, once you told me Loki, I was on board with that. I'm like, God, Loki would have been so cool. Mm-hmm. But in the big scheme of things and Secret Wars and all this stuff, where you don't know, you know you're going to get XYZ at the end, but you don't know which version of XYZ you're going to get now, is really what it comes down to. Because you know you're going to get all these. I feel like they did Secret Wars just to put Miles Morales in the regular universe.
Oh, come on.
It's like, can't we just get, like, a boom tube or something? I know that's DC, but, like, can't we just merge him and call it a day? Because there's nothing else they really care to keep out of the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe evil Reed Richards, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe Iron Man, if you're going to keep Tony Stark a jerk from our universe. I don't know. But that's my quick review. How do you feel about that? Jane Foster does nothing for you? Do you care? Do you not care?
I'm not happy about it.
I kind of feel like it's going to depend on the next couple issues, which I don't even know if there are more issues, because there's a preview for Thor's number one in the back.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like there's going to be more issues. I don't know. If they just play it up like she's weak all the time, and I don't know. I don't know if I care enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard rumors that it was Black Widow. I thought that would have been cooler.
Hmm. Yeah, that would have been cool. There was a lot of people I would have rather it have been, and not that this is terrible, like I said, but I mean, you look at the cover of A-Force, any of them would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Dazzler.
Yeah.
Make it Dazzler.
Yeah.
Jubilee.
You would lose your mind.
I would lose.
You would lose your mind.
I would quite literally lose my mind. Would have been awesome.
I should have told you it was Jubilee.
You should have. That would have been awesome.
Jubilee.
Could you even imagine?
No.
I can't. No. I can't.
I mean, I'm glad it's not Jubilee. I'm glad it's not like Squirrel Girl.
Right.
Squirrel Girl, yeah.
Like, they have enough, not that they're jokey characters and they can't be serious characters, but, like, you kind of need a more serious character.
Yeah, I agree.
Thor.
I agree.
Because I don't want, like, Jubilee dialogue out of Thor.
Right.
I want Jubilee dialogue out of Jubilee.
Yes, of course.
They're two different things. So, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I just don't... They're going to have to do a really good job of explaining how she got the hammer, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's really key.
A really good job of how a cancer patient on the moon was walking out by herself without any help and picked up a hammer. I just don't feel any desire to learn about how she did that. Or they should never tell us, and then I won't be up here. I'll be upset.
Well, it's Jason Aaron. He's really good. I know Lou likes his work on the other Thor stuff.
So. There is one thing, though. I guess this Thor, controls the hammer way better than the other Thor.
Different.
So it could have been. Different. It could have been that she summoned it.
Right, because she makes it leave when she gets back.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants with the hammer, unlike Thor.
Right, and maybe it's because she's dying that the hammer is so erratic.
Right.
Like, you're worthy. Not for long, but you're worthy. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. I could live with that. I could live with that.
Well, hopefully that's what you chose, Jason Aaron. Otherwise, Leander is going to roast you. And that's all I got. You guys got anything before we get out of here?
I think that's it for me.
That's it for me.
All right, well, like I said, we're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, CapesandScalesPodcast.com. Rate and review on iTunes. Do all that happy stuff. And I thank you for it.
Oh, one last thing. Don't actually put Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos in my bin.
All right, I'll take it off.
Why not?
I don't actually want
to
read it.
No, but you have
to just like the idea of it.
You should review something for the podcast. This could be something good for you.
Don't listen to him. He's wrong.
No, we're all choosing horrible titles.
I'll review it now.
We all know it's going to be bad. We're just choosing them because we have to do it for our fans. We're
not
all
doing it for us. We're doing fine, I'll read it.
All right, there we go. Put it back on.
Don't put it in my bin, though. I'll just get number one.
Just put it in the bin for now. And then,
and then when it's canceled in 1 month, I'll only have one issue anyway. There we go. That's fair.
All right, there we go.
There it is. I wrote it down.
Twice.
Yep.
Two copies. No! 10 cover variant. No!
That's
great.
There it is. When it goes on the hand.
Yeah, he's writing it on his hand right
That's
now.
That's how you know it's serious.
In blood.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps that up.
Yep, later.
See ya.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!